Parental Advisory Warning. Parental Advisory Warning. The following episode may contain topics and strong language that are too explicit, which may not be suitable for some audience and inappropriate for children. Listener discretion is advised.
Those on Zoom, I see you. Zoom, I pray you be here next Sunday for the picture. All on Zoom, I need you to come. Those that are here, we thank the Lord. I got a lot of ground to cover, so let's pray. Oh God, we thank you today. We bless you today. We honor you today. God, we ask that you give us a word to carry us through this week. Carry us through period, even on this year, just to hear from you. Give us a word and give us an anointing. The world's in trouble, but God, we know you got our back. Those that don't know you, God, and your son Jesus, we pray for more to come on board in this world. Because time is running, and I mean it's running. Bless us today. We trust you. We believe in you. We don't fear nothing. God, you have not given us the spirit of fear, but of love, power, and a sound mind. Thank you for the power and the sound mind. Bless this word. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. I've never seen nothing like this in the world. In my 67 years I've been living. Never seen nothing like this. Even years ago when it started, I remember this one prophet. I don't know if some of y'all here, he came, Prophet Campbell. He came here and he preached. And he told all of us, he said, pretty soon they're going to be driving naked. Mm-hmm. I don't know if y'all know, some people have been driving naked. I remember his prophecy just as clear. How he said the world was going to be changed. Yeah. And the world is changing so drastic. I mean, I just never seen so many black young people murdering other black people. I just never seen nothing like this. Because when we were growing up, we were close. Black people was way close. Anybody remember that? Black people was close.
Amen.
When I went outside to play, mama was gone. Miss Pearl was next door. If she see me do something, she'd come here, boy. She'll whoop me, her mother gone. He didn't, and then I get another one. You can't touch nobody, kid, now. You better not touch him. You better not touch him.
And you better say not so.
This is a sad world. A sad world. But one thing I come to tell you. I come to tell you a word from the Lord today. Hold on. Help is on the way.
Amen. Hallelujah.
People of God, if you will lean in close with me, listen. There are moments in life when everything around you says it's over. Mm-hmm. When it says it's over, that don't mean it's over for you. I can remember I kept having headaches. I believe it was 2001 or 2000, whichever one it was. 2000. I kept having headaches. And I had dialysis. Just before dialysis, I had a dialysis doctor. And I had a regular doctor. The regular doctor and the other doctor, it was a nephrologist. You get that when you get on dialysis or whatever, or your kidneys is failing. And they kept switching my blood pressure medicine. I kept having bad headaches. One day I was laying there, I looked my head up and felt like my head was a jug. And I told my wife I couldn't do that. And when I laid there, I can remember praying. When I prayed, I felt a shift. I never felt a shift like this before, but a shift. And my wife told me, you need to go to the emergency room. I said, Brenda, they know what they're doing. She said, your blood pressure's too high. Every day. I said, I didn't know what they're doing. Little I thought, they didn't. So I get up that morning, show you what you know with God is operating. I got to the emergency room. I used to hate to go to the people with nobody in there. I walked in there, they took me back and did these tests and all that, here come two other doctors. Mr. Coleman, they don't want you to get nervous and that. I'm like, what am I getting nervous for? So you believe in the brain. When they say it's over, it ain't over until God says it's over.
Amen.
Took me right in, did surgery. The Lord blessed me to stop the bleeding on my brain. Got some scars from it, but that's all right. It ain't over. So you got to remember in your life, it ain't over. Kidney transplant, I thought it was over. Dialysis is a slow death, if y'all didn't know it.
Yeah.
I didn't think I was going to make it through dialysis. I told Brenda, I'm not going to make it. I'm not going to make it. Every time I went home, as soon as I got home, I was there at 5 o'clock, I had to lay down. I couldn't do nothing. Sometimes I wake up at 4, I eat, and I go back because I was drained. I'm saying to y'all, it's not over. Don't think it's over. So then I had to transplant. I was in Dallas a year and a half. Nobody just said got a kidney that they knew that fast. The nurses, the doctors, they was intrigued. But guess what? Y'all was praying. I had other sects and other churches praying around the city. They were praying. After a year and a half, I got a kidney. The Lord blessed me. When I got that kidney, I came out with Dallas. But right after that, when they did the transplant, they gave me a hernia in my belly. Y'all didn't know that. I had to have another surgery.
Yeah.
Couple months after that, they went down there, they found the hernia, and the doctor told me, he said, you know where the hernia is from? I said, where? He said, that's from that surgery you had, the kidney transplant. I said, what? I said, yeah, look, well, even if it was what you said was, I'm begging, what did it look like me trying to sue the people that helped for help? That's crazy to me. So, well, they just did. The same people, I go up there every so many months. I go to the veteran every 2 weeks to check all my vitals, everything. And guess what? The kidney is good. Come on, let's give God some praise. It ain't over. It ain't over for me. I thought it was over. But God says it's not over until it's over. The kidney is doing good. I got a 25-year-old boy kidney. Well, I can do kick up and 25-year-old boy kidney, boy, I tell you, y'all just don't know. I don't know how he died, but all I know is he called me and asked me on a Friday evening. Now, I put up for the kidney, UWM. I was already signed up with the veterans in Illinois, and they called me. But UWM, I put it in August that year. And all of a sudden, they called me in January. My wife said, you're going to meet the kidney. Probably gonna get it for Christmas, but she just a few days. It wasn't over. Until it was over.
Yes.
Moments when the weight is heavy. And you ever had any heavy weight on you? Come on, going through life, y'all. The night is long sometimes. And the answers seem silent. But I came with a word for somebody who feels like giving up.
Come on,
hold on.
Yeah.
Help is on the way. Yeah. Ain't no time to give it up now. And for those that don't know the Lord, better get on board now. Because this train is low.
Yeah.
We're in the last dispensation.
Yes, we are.
Called grace. We've been in grace a long time. But guess what? Grace is going to get ready to get out of here.
Yeah.
Tribulation. Watch 23rd for New World Order coming in. The stuff I've been telling y'all, I want y'all to know. I ain't telling you for you to be scared, but we ain't scared.
It's the red horse and it's our peace horse. They'll take it out.
Y'all know how people talk. You ain't scared, is you?
Right.
Ain't no time to be scared.
Not scared.
God has given us not the spirit of fear, but love and power. We have the love,
amen.
We have the power. Anybody got the peace that's as bad as all understanding?
Yeah. Yeah.
And people wonder, why are you going to church? You need to come and find out why we're going to church. We come here as like a filling station. We come here to hear the word, to get more from God, to get direction from God. And God always sends his word to lead, guide us.
Yes. Yeah.
Hold on, help us on the way. Not might be, not maybe. Not if things improve. Help is on the way. Hold on when you can't see it. Most of the time, God does not arrive with a warning siren.
Yeah.
It doesn't knock loudly. It doesn't announce itself. Sometimes help is already moving while you still crying.
Right. Yes.
I'm a witness to this message.
Yes.
Scripture tells us, for we walk by faith, not by sight. 2 Corinthians 5:7. Sight says nothing is changing. I know everybody in there has been going through something in their life. Everybody going through something now. But you're looking at in the natural. But when you come to know God and accept Jesus as your personal Savior, it's a spiritual walk. Don't look at what you see.
Yes.
But believe by faith what he's going to do, because he's working behind the scenes.
Yes.
Faith says something is happening. Faith said God forgot me. Faith said God is working behind the curtains.
Yes, he is.
You may not see it, but that does not mean God is not sending it.
That's right.
Somebody needs to hear this clearly today.
Yeah.
Delay is not denied. God's status is not God's absence. Hold on. God specializes in late arrivals. Anybody had any late arrivals?
Amen.
That he comes just at the nick of time.
Amen.
You've been waiting. You've been praying. And what you're seeing, it just looked like it ain't going to be right. Something going to happen. And all of a sudden, God shows up.
Yeah.
God
moves on his time.
Something about God. He often waits until the situation looks impossible.
Hallelujah.
The house we're living in now, we had a house on 75th in Grand Tulsa in Memphis. And we had been there about 31 years or 37 years, period. And I can remember they were selling drugs out in front of our house. If anybody ever been in my house when y'all seen me, they took the streets and seen them sell a drug, did you? They had that whole block.
That's how they did our block.
My baby couldn't even go sit on the porch. And it's funny because when I went to the garbage out there, they looked at me like I didn't belong there. I was like, this ain't gonna work.
Right.
I didn't know how God was gonna get us out of there.
Hallelujah.
We really didn't have the finances.
Right.
So we prayed. We endured all them boys there for that year. Before that, they was always pulling up. See, young black boys, they think they're smart now. They just don't go by their car because they don't have an address. And every time I called the police, they would say, well, you have an address in their car. I haven't called them for years. Well, that's how you can't get it. You ain't trying. So, we prayed. All of a sudden, God made a way for us to move from that place. So we moved. But in the process, we still had to build a house. Now, here's the deal. If your house ain't paid for, you still got to pay for it. Or it's called deed in lieu. You give the house back to the real estate company. So we called, ran our new house, and we asked about the deed in lieu. We told the black lady what was going on. Oh, I feel so bad about y'all, and wow, y'all got to go through all that and all that. And we put it in, and they turned us down. I said, look at this. They turned us down. So I told my wife, I said, listen, we got to get another strategy because they're gonna try to put a lien on our new house. Right? They're gonna try to put a lien on this house. I said, we ain't gonna be able to sell it. If something happened to me, you're going to be stuck with it, but you ain't going to do it because I'm going to have a lien on it. So, one day, I called. Now, we was in a rush where they got places in Texas and Florida. But I made a call, and a white guy picked it up. And I told him the situation. I said, you know what? They were treating us so bad because we're black. I said, we know it. I said, we signed up for the D-NU, and all of a sudden, they sent us. They told us we was going to get it. They denied us. We didn't know. But I kept talking. And I got, he said, wait a minute. Give me your number. And my number's on Cardi Bay. He started dealing with the people that own all the Rushmore period, the big people. So he called us back. He said, listen, y'all going to do another application. It's something we did. Then he said, listen, they said y'all got two liens on your house. You got to get those liens on. And it was me and Educators. But Educators shouldn't have them. Should have took them off because I filed Chapter 13. So I called Educators. And they said, oh, we're so sorry, Mr. Coleman. We're going to take this one off. So we sent that in to the guy we was working with, Florida. Then he come back, he said, they said you got another lien. I said, there's no other lien. They already been talking this lien stuff for the longest. And guess what? When I found out, they dug. And it was another lien. But they should have took that off too. I said, look at this, brother. I went to Educators. I got the lien was released. The guy sent it to him. So we've got a guy we're working between. So everything getting there. He said, listen, Mr. Coleman. We're going to put this thing to bed. I said, let's put it to bed. And all of a sudden, Deed and Lou sent us a letter. Said, you've been accepted. And the Deed and Lou. Come on, y'all got, y'all don't know what that meant for us. Hallelujah. They was going to deal with, had us in bankruptcy. There was, the noise was sending us letters from all over the world. We heard you in bankruptcy. You can retain a couple of guys. Look at this. And all of us, Brendan, God got this. We got to believe this.
Oh, yeah. Woo!
Then all of a sudden, the letter came. We accepted you indeed and lose. We want to inspect the house. If the house looks good, we're going to give you cash for keys. That's what they call it. I said, look at this, Brendan. They're going to give us money. So we waited. The money came. Something about FedEx. The house is theirs now. It's up for sale.
Amen.
We don't own it no more. They took it back. And God made them take us out of bankruptcy.
That's right. Amen.
It's not over, y'all. It's over.
Shonda Barbershop has been serving the Milwaukee community since 2009, for over 15 years. Customer service is exceptionally pleasant, and they are extremely patient with their customers. To schedule an appointment, please visit Shonda Barbershop on 5331 West Hampton Avenue or call 414-202-4756. Hairstyles and haircuts start at $60. That phone number again is 414-202-4756.
When Israel stood at the Red Sea, got in that part, the waters early, they stood there. The people were complaining to Moses.
Yeah.
We might as well go back. You know, God is here, you know, Moses, they said, coming, Pharaoh, they coming. Moses just stood there. I said, the Lord, Moses, what you got in your hand? Moses. And they started complaining. We want to go back to Egypt. God had led Moses that far, but the water wasn't parted.
Yep.
As he was standing until he lifted up the rod.
Yep. Hallelujah.
All of a sudden,
they sealed just like that.
They made it through. And when Pharaoh's army got in that water, they were drowned. When Israel stood at the Red Sea, God did not part the water of the earth. He waited. Sometimes God will make you wait. Don't wait to God, just wait. So Lord, I don't know what is going to happen, but I pray by faith, but I believe in my heart that you're going to come through like you said you would. And I'm not going to die.
Amen.
When Lazarus was sick, Jesus did not rest. You waited. Why? Because God gives more glory for impossibility, rescue, than easy solutions. Anybody can open a door. It's already unlocked. But God only can make it when the doorway, when it's shut. God can open it. And no man could close it. So just because the door closed, you got to remember, there's another door that God won't take you through. You believe it. You believe by faith. God's going to do it for you. The man will help you. you like you're gonna do it right there and there. It looks bleak sometimes. And God does that on purpose. So he can let you know you ain't doing nothing, but I'm gonna come and do the impossible because you're a believer and you pray to me and your faith moved me. God can make a way when there is no way. The enemy wants you to panic in the waiting. God wants you to trust in the waiting. Can you trust God in the midst of your drama?
That's right.
Can you trust God when it don't look like things are going to go your way? Can you trust God when you don't have the money to pay that bill?
Come on now.
Can you trust God?
Thank you, boss.
So you get paid. You know you don't have enough.
Yes.
What you making to pay that bill?
All right now.
But you pay your tithes?
All right, yes.
All right, come on,
God. You talk to God?
Right.
You tell God I gave you your position.
Yes. All
right. From a gas to school, you know God, but I gave you your first.
Yes, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
Anybody have situations
like that?
You don't look like you don't make it. Don't look like God will show up. So look at God
just left you alone.
You're waiting. You're in a waiting period.
I got to praise
God. God will see which way you're going to go.
Because he's going to
show you. It's not you.
Hallelujah.
It ain't you.
Hallelujah.
It's me.
That's it. That's all.
God is all the glory.
And the honor and the glory. And
I was listening.
Through it all.
To this one speaker.
Yes. Thank you, sister.
There was an interviewer. I can't think of his name, but he has a ministry and followers on Facebook or one of them. He got thousands. Okay. Let me tell you, what he said. Mm-hmm. He says to the interviewer, he said, listen, me and my wife are out of debt, but we still owe on our house. He said, but I need to let you know, people of God, y'all need to know this. Y'all need to quit looking at the material stuff you got. He said, y'all quit looking at them houses and cars. When you have them, you take care of them. Stop depending on them. He said, because listen, me and my wife realize that all we got, it belongs to God. And it's here today.
Gone
the same day. He said, so don't think we didn't struggle. He said, God started us and we moved. And he said, to these big ministries.
All right now.
And he the first one I ever said.
Hallelujah to Jesus.
He says to the big ministries.
Yes, yes.
Quit taking all that money from them people.
Amen.
This is what he said. He said, listen, if you got all that money the people giving you, how your members live?
Okay.
Exactly.
Your members have a house, nice house to live in. You have a car.
Okay.
Are they bills paid? They still catching the bus to your ministry? And you ain't even looked at. You got $1 billion ministry?
All
right. That's who it is. I said, wow.
There's
no power with this, what he said. And he said, I'm talking to all the preachers. Got these big ministries.
Well, all right.
You better check yourself. Oh, that's greed.
Yes, it is. Hallelujah to Jesus.
I start shaking my head.
Hallelujah to Jesus.
I don't have all that, but I feel the same way what he said about
Amen.
Y'all. I want y'all to have. I want y'all to be fed. I want y'all to, prosper and be in good health. Even as our soul prosper, I want the best for you.
Thank you, Jesus.
So don't fool yourself.
Amen, amen.
I probably give all that money away.
Hallelujah.
It don't mean nothing to me. Because I really know what it means to love God.
Yes, Lord. Hallelujah.
When we go, somebody going to get the house?
Yes.
No, it is.
A car drive.
Yes.
Somebody going to get that car.
Yes,
money we got in the bank.
Somebody
going to
get it.
We don't own nothing.
Quit holding on to those things. Like they're everything to you. Like they're God to you.
There you go. All right now.
God bless you. Hey, you live, you keep living, but don't put everything and your hope in that material stuff.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
Now, I'm going to say this for a reason, because I want y'all, some of y'all already know. When we started this church, I can remember, I think I was getting $200 a month, whatever it was. They gave me a raise, they gave me another. So, the banners was back there, I was getting $400 every 2 weeks. This year I got a raise, I get $500 every 2 weeks. If y'all know, I get $1,000 a month. I'm saying this for a reason. Don't think that I know I deserve it. We gave $20,000 to this church before they even got here. This church. And I told the member that was there, y'all owe me $20,000. Well, yes, I did. So I'm getting, and guess what? That's how this church got remodeled.
Through
that money we donated.
All right. Praise God.
And God has showed up for us.
Yes, He has.
Giving us back to Him. So I'm saying this for a reason. Don't y'all think I need that?
Okay.
I deserve it because I work for it.
All right. Mm-hmm.
If I don't get it, don't think I ain't going to leave.
All right now.
But I'm due that. Labor is what is due is hired. So I appreciate you. If y'all can give me number $5,
okay.
I ain't hung up on that either.
All right, thank you.
But I just want y'all to know you really don't know what type of person you are. Don't fool yourself.
Amen.
That money don't move me like that.
Okay.
I just be saying, hey, let me get mine because I earned it.
All right.
I put too much money in this ministry. They ain't got to take it out no more. I really don't care about that. I really don't. People pay me. Well, he went, yeah, I want mine. Y'all owe it to me, baby.
Amen.
Go ahead.
Pastor, even when the church bills are not due, when the church bills are due, and Pastor can't, and he'll see that the bills are not, he'll sit in there and give it back to the church.
Oh, yeah.
So exactly. His character. Because
exactly.
At the end of the day, he'll make sure the church bills is taken care of before he make his home bills.
Amen.
Pastor will sit over there in the dark.
Yeah.
Make sure the church had lights.
Amen.
Yes. A workman is worthy of his wages. That's Bible. And we honor our pastor. And all these big pastors getting big checks. Yeah, that little check he getting ain't nothing.
Right.
Compared to these other mega ministries. But he like you said, he gave it to the church and now it's returning back to him.
Amen.
And if I ever got it, you know, do I ever forget this? Like some of them churches with all that money.
Mm-hmm.
When I do things, I do them secretly.
Yeah, yeah.
I told you I want a committee to meet. I want such a committee. I want you to send papers around, send an application around, and just ask, what do you need?
Right, right.
And when we do give it, shut your mouth. Wow.
Hallelujah.
Your
kids
hallelujah. Need school clothes.
Hallelujah.
All right, you got it.
Hallelujah.
Somebody needs a refrigerator.
Hallelujah.
We got you. Somebody needs a stove.
Hallelujah.
We got you. I met a man when I was a family. I went down some gift. And this man, he had horses. And he took me to his garage and the revival phone. He had all these cars.
Okay.
And I looked at him. He said, you know I got all these cars, preacher?
Okay.
He said, I give them to the members one by one. I said,
wow. Oh, wow.
Man.
That was awesome.
Huge church. Awesome. But his mind was in the right place.
Amen.
You
know, it dawned on me when I had met Sister Sarah, the bus driver. I didn't know God had placed her in the path to come here to show us some things, because I used to get upset why she's not here, and God let me know. No, she was just there for a season, came back in the back. She helped us what to give you more of. She gave that to us. She came back there and said, and I'm like, okay, God, she wasn't meant to stay here. She came to do what you had for her to do, to show us some things. Because, yeah, I used to get upset, like, how come she's not here no more? And God had to tell me she was here for a reason and a season and a time and a moment. She had a task to do, but here.
Because she told us, she said, if y'all bless the man of God, God can't do nothing but bless y'all.
She
wasn't satisfied with what I was getting.
Yeah,
you know,
that's
right.
Yeah.
Whatever it was, I had been getting for a long time.
It wasn't much.
But guess what? That much didn't mean that much to me,
right,
as to the ministry going on.
Right.
And like I said, some of y'all weren't here when we gave that $20,000. The church should have looked so dim to me. And the lights, it was just dull, and the bitch was old, and I kept sitting in, and all of a sudden I told Brenda, and we went, and we took out with our 401k. ARA, and I had one. We got $20,000. We did that, so, and when we did it, I walked in the church with my mom. I said, God, I thank you, because now I feel better. I'm not going to sit up in no raggedy church and take y'all money and we can't put it back in the church. Where y'all get that from?
Hallelujah.
That's not me. And I'm telling you, when you walk in the church, it's looking dark.
Okay, thank you, Lord.
You hear me? It was dark, dirty, dingy.
God.
Look at God. God is dead.
Hallelujah.
Great.
Thank you, Jesus.
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus.
Amen. No, I'm not saying that for me. No, we're giving God the glory.
God
put on our heart. And God is taking care of us now.
Yes,
trust me, we don't need too much
Hallelujah.
Of nothing.
Hallelujah.
And we ain't hung up. I don't need no new car.
Amen.
My car got 60,000 miles. That little baby ain't. I don't need another car.
All right.
I don't need no big Cadillac and all that. Stop that stuff.
I need a new one.
You need a new one?
Yeah.
All right, y'all, I got the rules.
Submit yourself unto the Lord, and He will give His
heart. Because sometimes God helps the schedule for the last minute.
All right. Never late.
The last minute.
Never late.
When we got this church, before we got it, the black bank was up there.
Yeah.
What was it?
Columbia.
Hmm?
The legacy
of Columbia. No, right down from the left.
That's Columbia.
$10,000. After my wife quit and came up with the other one, and I went to Bishop Daniels. I never forget it. We sit down, we talk. I said, Bishop, we got the money. We just need $10,000 to close. Bishop said, don't worry about it. Call me. So we got up there to the bank, and we needed $10,000. And the man said, we need, I got on the phone. I said, Bishop Daniels told me to tell you on his way. The guy looked, I said, Bishop Daniels. Bishop Daniels pulled up in the black limousine and came and gave him a $10,000 check for Jesus to wait.
Right.
And guess what we did? We turned around, we had a service, we gave back all his money.
Amen.
He ain't holding over our head.
Amen.
Y'all helped raise that money. We paid that money. Not because he's cares, God, but because he's teaching your faith. I got to go. Hold on through the storm. Storms have a voice. They whisper fear. They shout doubt. They magnify a problem. But storms also have an expiration date. Jesus spoke to the storm and said, peace, be still. Mark 4:39. And the same storm that was wrong became silent. Let me tell you something encouraging. No storm lasts forever.
Amen.
Y'all got to remember that. What you're going through is not going to last forever.
Thank you, Lord.
No pain lasts forever.
Hallelujah.
No struggles last forever.
Yeah.
No season lasts forever. If it came, it can go.
Amen.
If it started,
come
it can
down.
If it rose, God can't come and hold on. Your help is on the way. Sometimes we pray, I'm coming through glory. Sometimes we pray, and God sends strength.
Yeah.
We pray for escape, God sends endurance.
Yeah.
Pray for removal, and God sends grace.
Yeah.
Paul prayed to this, and the thorns in the side. And God said, my grace is sufficient for thee. 2 Corinthians 12:9. In other words, I'm not talking either way, but I'm giving you power to survive it. You see, I'm not taking it away.
Amen.
But I'm giving you power to survive
it.
Help is not always the difference.
Yeah. Yeah.
Sometimes help is strength to stand.
Yeah.
Peace
and
chaos.
Yeah.
Joy and sorrow. Courage to keep going. Help! It's coming, but it may come dressed differently. Hold on.
Yep.
Thank you, Lord.
The change is about to come.
Amen.
2003. Hallelujah. Hold on. God's going to bring us through the storm. If it doesn't look like you're going to stop it, you're going to be your endurance.
Go through it.
Amen.
We always did. We always
did. Get out
for
me.
Thank you, Jesus.
We thank the Lord.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you for listening to this week's episode. If you have any feedback for us, email the Red Blonde Fox at blackdarkrebel@gmail.com. Don't forget to share and subscribe to the Red Blonde Fox to receive notifications on our latest episodes. Remember, you are who you are because God made you. This your girl, Red Blonde Fox.